Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
Y'all remember this?
Check this out.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me just get this off my chest, too.
Only those who wish to listen may do so.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The number of people that reach out to me, it's insane. So your message to Jets fans would be what right now? Coach, what do you have for me?
Keep the faith, enjoy the ride.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Coming up, 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's correct. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Great stuff with our friends from Sports Illustrated. Chris Mannix covering the association, and Albert Breer covering the National Football League. If you missed it, we re-air on Channel 210, the Roku channel, as soon as we are done. And it's free on all Roku devices, select Samsung smart TVs, free on Amazon Fire TV, free on the Roku app, because on that app is the Roku channel. The internet tubes also works for free. The YouTube, the RokuChannel.com. There's our YouTube stream as well, where we cut up much of the show and put it there. Hit us with the subscribe button. You can also watch our podcast there, Overreaction Monday and What the Football, by also getting that for your ear gate, where all 3 hours of this show can be downloaded as a podcast version every single day, thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network. I think I've covered everything. And we say hello to our radio audience. Did I mention our radio audience?
Hello,
I sound like that comedian that made fun of me.
You
know what I'm looking up right now?
You know,
I've got the sports, bunch of mix up here. It's like every day, I don't know if it's right around this time, it just looks like Nick Nurse is staring into the abyss, you know, where he's trying to describe, you know, we love James. James is great. We hope he shows. We just don't know. I mean, I only can coach the guys that are here. It's just like, you know, I mean.
Well, what can he say? It's like he said.
I don't know.
They're old him. He's like, we're going to roll the ball out if he's here. We're going to roll the ball out if he's not here.
And I was watching some preseason the other night on ESPN, and Doc was doing the game, and I forgot. I was like, oh, yeah, he's on the main cast now with Doris and Mike Breen.
By the way, that is going to be an outstanding listen.
And the Celtics hired Jeff Van Gundy as kind of kind of like an executive consultant.
Oh, great.
And I was like, oh, okay. I forgot about that those guys are no longer there. And
yeah, I know.
A new team on ESPN.
I love, you know, JVN, as you know, or JVG, pardon me. Can't wait to hear, you know how I feel about Doc and Doris as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Roger in York, Pennsylvania. Let's take your phone call. What's up, Roger?
York College.
Hey there, Rich. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I called you a couple weeks ago. I want to apologize, first of all, because I called you Greg. You were talking to Craig Kilborn. That was in my head, so apologize about that.
No worries,
that
Bob.
White bracelet, by the way.
Bob.
That's cool. Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy. I'm ready to see him as your guest. I want to take you back. You were in Europe, so I don't know if you got to see this or not, but that Cowboys game that he played, they showed him after the kickoff when he came on the field. And the look in his eyes, his demeanor, his aura, his confidence, you just knew, sorry, TJ, you just knew the Cowboys were about to get it handed to him, and they did. Fast forward, Cleveland, Ohio this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Number one defense, his best outing, not by far, terrible. However, with the 3, 4, 5 minutes left, he had his team up, capable of winning the game.
Mm-hmm.
Take away 2 questionable pass interference calls that his team goes down on, 1.5 minutes left, he brings his team back, and he has a chance for a field goal. And all I can really say is if he still had Penn State's own Robbie Gould as
nice.
The kicker, chances are that could be a different story, and he'd still be perfect. But
I agree with you, Roger, and thanks for the call. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for calling in.
Roger.
By the way, if you don't mind me saying, he
He did sound like he's from Pennsylvania. Is that why he started laughing? You know, Mr. PA over there.
Like, hey. Picked up on that accent. Yeah.
Just make a note of it. I think that would be a good drop of his laugh and saying, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
That might not be a bad drop.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool.
That might be useful.
Although I do remember him calling you Greg, and I kind of went, in my head, I was like, did he just call him Greg?
So I called him Bob. Speaking of Brock Purdy, he's going to be joining us in about 15 minutes' time. Can't wait to chat with him.
Brock Purdy.
His first appearance, I believe, here in the history of our program.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm excited about that. Hey, let's talk about, you know, we're talking about James Harden doesn't want to be where he is. What about Davante Adams? Does he want to be where he is? Again, we spoke about it with Albert Breer earlier, and we'll get to his comments in a moment. But first up, the latest example of Davante Adams saying something that leaves us all wondering, what is he saying? You know, it seems like he goes right up onto the doorstep of saying, I don't want to be here. And then steps back and says, no, I do want to be here, but, you know, not in the manner in which I'm currently here. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it seems like.
Yeah.
He's made comments on it for print stories and also into a microphone, the latest one occurring in his weekly availability in front of the press on Wednesday. He's had only 6 catches in the last 2 games, both of them Raiders wins, believe it or not.
Yeah.
This is what Davante Adams had to say.
I mean, it's a work in progress. Obviously, we're going to continue to work through it. But, I mean, I'm a human being, and I have extremely high standards for myself and this offense. So, it's, to me, it's not just about, you know, I'm sure people are thinking like, you know, well, they won the game, they won the Packers game, you know, why is there an issue? I mean, you see why it's an issue. You know, y'all should know who I am, know what I'm about at this point. So it's not about, you know, when you're a player like me, mentally, my benchmark is not wins and losses, it's greatness. So when I go out there, I expect to be able to have that ability to put that on tape and have an influence on the game. And that's, like I say every week, that's my purpose for being here. I'm not here just to hang out and, you know, like I said, come here to hang out with Derek and all of that stuff from last year. Came here to win and to do it the right way. So, if it don't look like it's supposed to look, then, I mean, I'm going to be frustrated if I'm not a part of that plan. Because, as you know, I have the opportunity to go and to change that and make it look like a much better pitcher out there. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm going to be frustrated, you know. If Jacoby goes out and have a monster game, or if the offense is scoring every 5 plays like the, you know, our first drive on the Bills, then it is what it is. It's not about me, but, you know, I'm one of the bigger pieces, you know, as to why this offense is going to go. And if I'm not getting it, then that's obviously not according to plan. So we want to obviously keep working like we are to get that right.
All right. So what does he mean by that? We had Albert Breer on in hour number 2. I asked him exactly that very question, and here was his answer from Sports Illustrated, our friend.
He just comes from a winning program, and guys who come from places like that who haven't experienced losing then go to a place like this, and it gets them a little bit more than it would to other players. I think, like, this is sort of a signal from Davante Adams, like, all right, I signed here. I wanted to play here. It was my choice to come here. I bought into Josh McDaniels' program. Now you got to show me. I know there was some frustration on, you know, the part of McDaniels and his staff last year. I mean, part of the reason they were out on Derek Carr is because Derek Carr didn't take enough chances and give Davante Adams enough chances. And, you know, I think that's a part of it, is like the quarterback position to some degree has undermined Davante Adams, you know, and that, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is banged up again. And now, is it going to be Brian Hoyer? Is it going to be Aiden O'Connell? And, you know, again, like, I think Davante is sort of in this show me place where, if it doesn't get better over the course of the year, and I don't think it gets traded before the deadline, but if it doesn't get better, you know, over the rest of this year, like, then I think all bets are off, and, you know, he is probably considering his options.
So that's Albert Breer's opinion, that it doesn't mean anything for the moment, but if it doesn't improve by the end of the year, then he'll, you know, his options would be literally saying the words, I don't want to be here, but screw it. Let's just go straight to the source in Davante Adams, because earlier today he retweeted the senior writer for The Athletic who covers the Raiders, Tashawn Reed, who gave his 2 cents on the subject matter, that my takeaway from Adams's comments He values winning above all else, but knows the Raiders can't win at the level he wants to without the offense being significantly better. And for the offense to be that, he needs to get the ball more. It's fairly simple. Adams retweeted that saying, simple. Thank you, brother. And I will say this, my takeaway from it, it is that simple, right? It is that simple because it will come across that Adams sounds like it's about him, right? Because you're supposed to say, oh, we won the last two games. I don't care if I get just one catch for 1 yard as long as we win. Nuh-uh. Because if he only gets one catch for 1 yard, you're not going to win multiple games in a row too often. You're not going to win too many games too often. You brought him in and paying him all that money for a certain reason because you're getting that heart of a lion who wants to be great. And it is about greatness for him because at this point of his career, you know, outside of that championship trophy and ring and the winning, it is about chasing the all-time greats because he is that good and has been that good. And, you know, I'm sure Packers fans might be, well, you should have stuck around here. Maybe you and Rodgers might be back shouldering your way down the field in the NFC North right now, too. You know, Rodgers might have stuck around if Adams did. But, you know, there's other aspects of it. Again, Adams wanted to be closer to the West Coast, and definitely hanging out with Derek was definitely one of the benefits of coming there. But to me, and it's only going to get worse, one would think, with all due respect to Aiden O'Connell and or Brian Hoyer, that without Garoppolo, the most steady, when healthy, hand, I don't know if Adams is going to be fed in the manner in which he feels he needs to be. That's kind of the issue here. But the ultimate issue I'm taking away from this, these comments and the ones before it, is somehow, some way, he feels that the setup there is not for his ultimate success. He feels as if whatever's going on there is not set up for his ultimate success. That is the subtext to everything he has been saying. Because if he felt as if those who are either A, feeding him, or B, scheming to feed him, or are C, having the ability to tell those who can feed him, feed him. Feed him. Not to sound like, you know, hey, James Franklin, why don't you go up top? I'm not talking about up top. I'm like 217. Who's always effing open. Awesome. And if he's not, you can back shoulder him open or you can throw him open because he is that good. And so when I hear these comments, there's always that subtext that I feel that he feels. And again, I shouldn't speak for him because he's told us how simple it is. But, you know, for the offense to be better, he needs to get the ball more. It's that simple. And he's like, yeah, thank you. It is that simple. Then why does he feel the need to have to say it? If Santiago
wasn't
to be touched, then why was he touched? And if he was told that he's being transferred off the base, why didn't he pack a thing? It's because he didn't feel that way, that he was safe. You know what I'm saying? And so he feels, it seems, every now and then to have to say stuff because maybe deep down he feels as if he's not being fed enough or being, I don't know, is it a respect thing? What is up? Does he feel as if, let's just call it what it is, that McDaniels and his system is set up for his ultimate success? To let him be the GOAT that he is, period. And if that system isn't the right fit, or the quarterback isn't the right fit, then let's find him the ability to be the Randy Moss in this system. Who, honestly, who is in this system, who has been the beast of all beasts? And the only one.
The running back.
Well, no, I'm talking about as a receiver.
Oh, not Jacoby Myers.
In this system, in the history of this system, I guess I should be more.
Oh, sorry, you're going big to. Well, yeah, Randy Moss.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's Edelman or Gronk, right? I mean, who else?
The slot guy and the tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welker.
So treat him like he's Randy Moss because he has that ability and he's going to wind up in the same room as Randy. So.
I know, but the weird thing is.
And he's a different receiver than Randy.
I know, but Randy Moss had the career. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't know if that had anything to do with Randy.
Randy also had
that had to do with any given Sunday with a team that was ready to roll. By the way, they played him 3 weeks beforehand and had a better sense of being able to hang with him. I mean, there are a lot of circumstances that had nothing to do with Brady and Randy in the
Devontae's
system.
Devontae's averaging 6 targets per game in the wins.
Not enough.
14 targets in the losses.
I get it. I get it. As a matter of fact, that loss to the Steelers, he had, you know, we came on the air and said, it's the most angering, angry I've ever seen a receiver who's been fed.
Yeah, he was amazing in that game. 13-172, 2 touchdowns.
But I don't think that's any indication of if you feed him a lot, you lose. You don't feed him enough, you win. I think that's an anomaly, which is why he's saying something. And the fact that he feels the need to continue to say something to me is weird. Weird.
Or, you know, McDaniels rubs people the wrong way.
Or you just heard basically Breer say in his comments that the reason why they fell out of favor with Derek Carr is he didn't feed Adams enough. There is something amiss there, and I don't know what the hell it is. I can't put my finger on it, but every now and then Adams says something either to the print press or into a microphone where you're like, what does that mean? And then he comes back to have to describe what it means, and it's not like I want to get the hell out of here. I want the football more. And by the way, CeeDee Lamb kind of said that last week. And guess who got the football more? Yep. He did. And guess what the cop went with the Dallas Cowboys?
Got dope.
CeeDee Lamb got fed.
Damn straight.
It is kind of funny, Chris, that you bring it up because I'm looking at this. The 3 games that was targeted the
most. That's an anomaly. Get out of here.
Yeah, but it's just
that's
weird.
That's 6 games, though.
All right, so spread it around more. Really?
And I'm not saying not to give him the ball more because obviously that's ridiculous, but you just look at this.
Or you could say. That it wouldn't have been a close game against the Patriots if they gave it to him 12 damn times.
Maybe not.
And obviously the defense might, dictate. Come on.
But what if he gets 8 targets and they win again on Sunday against the Bears?
Well, then I can't wait to hear his post-game press conference. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Before we take a break, I want to tell you about Game Time. Go and get the app like we all have because it makes your ticket buying process easier. Take all the frustration out of your ticket buying experience. You browse through the Game Time app. You can see last minute tickets, flash deals, zone deals. You find tickets for any kind of event in your area, sports, music, comedy, theater events, or outside of your area. Right now, again, I'm monitoring what's going on in the Sphere in Vegas.
I just used Game Time yesterday to buy tickets for Bruins Kings Saturday night at Staples. Oh
boy.
Let's go.
And you get the lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection. And you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, that Game Time guarantee means they will credit you 110% of the difference. That's just one of the many reasons why you should go and download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Brock Purdy, baby. He has no idea. Coming up next.
Millions of listeners and thousands of 5-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
when my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept. They said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Back here on the program, getting ready for Brock Purdy, baby. He's about to join us in just a couple minutes' time.
Sweet.
So.
Does this feel like a family reunion?
Yeah,
about to happen?
Like, yeah, no.
Family reunion.
What do you mean reunion? He's never been on the program.
I mean, well, your son, you haven't seen him in a while. Like, you know.
We wait at school.
Don't talk. Don't. You're going to make Baker Mayfield jealous.
Well, don't Baker knows Baker he's Baker number jealous. One.
No. I just like the way he plays. I'm excited for him. I'm excited to see what's going on in his career, his life.
Say, how do you mother for me?
I'm excited for the off-season conversation.
Which is what?
This guy. He's excited for the off-season.
It's just me having to take a stand again. It's, you know, an unpopular opinion.
Oh. You well, the Niner friend. Just relax, man. You 2 weeks ago on Overreaction Monday, you said the Niners would beat an all-pro team,
an all-star team
with it from every other, all 31 other teams.
I know. I feel bad that I jinxed them, but yeah. I did feel that.
No, you should just leave it at that. Niner fans feel great about you right now.
I did feel that way at the time.
I know. That's what Overreaction Monday's about. It's about in the moment. That's why it's called Overreaction, and then the word Monday.
And then I love the comments a week later, like, oh, this aged well.
I mean, that's the whole point, is that it doesn't age well.
You want that,
right? That's the point. We're making fun of stuff that is only in the moment and will rarely age well.
Right.
That's the point.
People that don't understand.
Yeah, I don't think people get that.
Yeah, they don't get it.
That's okay, though.
You're overreacting.
It's okay. Because, you know, it's a popular segment, and that's what we do is make popular stuff.
Yeah, very popular. I sent Brockman a screenshot in the middle of the day yesterday. I was like, look at the number.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Mike Tomlin. Yeah.
Your views are crazy.
They're good.
We're doing all right.
We're appreciative. Yeah. At any rate, you know whose views are crazy, too? Our next guest. Fantastic. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com. Or just stop by. And stopping by for the first time, I believe, right? He's not been on this program before. We've been talking about him a lot because, you know, he's good at football. And he has proven that since getting the reins of the starting gig last year from the San Francisco 49ers, getting set to take on the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football, which you can hear on many of these stations on Westwood One. Brock Purdy, the San Francisco 49ers here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Brock?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, last time I saw you was at the Super Bowl, right?
Yes, sir.
That was a good time.
Yeah, I saw you introduce me to Shaq, man. I appreciate it.
You know what? It's one of those things, you know, when Shaquille O'Neal was walking out of the Fanatics party, you were there. I'm like, Shaq, this is Brock. Brock, this is Shaq. There you go, you know?
Yep. He had to, get up. He had to go underneath the umbrella to see me.
He's a big dude. I mean, just in all honesty here, I mean, how have you been able to adjust in a life where you're definitely more famous every passing day than the day before with you, Brock, your new life?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just try to keep it simple, man. I just got to remember, you know, I'm human. I'm the same son, brother, fiance. Like, I have a fiance now, but yep. I just keep those things in mind, man. I don't try to think that I'm somebody else or something bigger. And so that's just how I go about my life.
And part of that is do you still have a roommate? Are you still in that world right now, Brock?
Yep. Say I'm still, obviously on league minimum and, you know, trying to save my money. And so splitting rent with my roommate, who's an offensive lineman here. So,
yeah, it's Nick, right? Is it who it is?
Yep. Nick Sakel.
All right. So, that is, it's just wild. Does it ever blow your mind what's going on in your life right now, Brock?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, we look at it like, you know, it's sort of funny, you know, like, you know, it is what it is right now. This is where I'm at with my life. But, you know, just trying to enjoy. I'm playing in the NFL on a great team. And, you know, some people want to make it a big deal. Like, oh, you should be getting paid with this. And I don't care about any of that. It's, you know, we're having fun with where we're at. And I'm appreciative of just everything.
Deep down, you know it's coming, though, right, Brock? Deep down, you know it's coming. Those days are coming.
We'll see.
We'll see. Okay. I gotcha. I got you. All right, so let's just jump into it. How are you processing last weekend right now?
Yeah. Man, it was obviously tough. You never want to lose any game. And, you know, for us, even if we did win the game, it's like, man, you got to look at yourself and be real about the things that we got to clean up. You know, we got to be better on the road with a lot of things operationally as an offense, taking care of the ball and, you know, taking advantage of the opportunities that they give you. So, you know, we're real about it, but at the same time, and we got a lot to look forward to with the season. We got a big game coming up this week with Monday Night Football. So we're real about it, but I think that's what, you know, makes us pretty good.
Anything happen in Cleveland that you're making a mental note of? Okay, that happens in Minnesota or future down the line. I'm going to do something different, X, Y, and Z. A takeaway that you're willing to share right here from that?
Yeah, man, I would just say, you know, just the, like I said, the operation, you know, our offense, we're pretty complex with stuff. But just making sure, you know, if a couple of our key players go down, you know, like Debo and Christian, being able to, you know, help out the guys that come in the huddle who, you know, maybe haven't gotten those reps at practice and allowing them to, you know, be ready for play calls and stuff like that. And that's something that I take on me. You know, Ray came in the game and Elijah Mitchell, JP Mason, you know, backing up, you know, Christian and Debo. And I feel like I could have done a better job with just helping them out with where we're supposed to line up, the plays that we have to run and things like that. So just moving forward, I got to be better with that.
Why is that on you?
You know? I mean, just as a quarterback in general, you know, for us to be on point and to move as an offense, I just feel like, you know, there's times where I can just tell them when we break the huddle, hey, you're over here. Just remind them, little reminders, especially on the road when, you know, the environment is crazy. It's sometimes tough to hear. But just being ready for those kind of moments, I feel like it could just help them out and help them get into a groove and help build their confidence. So for some reason, I feel like I just take that on myself.
Brock Purdy here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about your relationship with Kyle Shanahan. What generally does he tell you going into a game like, say, this Monday night? Walk me through that relationship, if you don't mind, Brock.
Yeah. I mean, he always just, you know, echoes, you know, you don't have to be somebody or not. You don't have to be some superhero. You don't have to think you have to do too much. You know, he obviously allows me to play who I am, but at the same time, I understand everything ties together in this offense. You know, there's a reason why he's calling certain plays. If the shot play is not there, you know, progress to number three and we'll move on, you know, to third and manageable compared to third and long. And so he's always just, you know, preaching and teaching, play within our offense, within our system. You don't have to do too much. There's times where you'll have opportunities where you break outside the pocket and you have to make a play. And then he's like, you know, be you in those moments. But we have a good defense. We got a great team overall. And so do what we ask of you and we'll be just fine.
Why do you think it works so well or has worked so well so far, Brock? Why?
Yeah. I mean, I think we just got obviously a great team. You know, we got playmakers across the board. And so for me, I look at it like I'm a point guard. You know, I just got to dish out the ball to the guys in space and allow them to make plays and be on time, make the right decisions. I don't have to be this, you know, superhero of a quarterback scrambling and making all these highlight plays. That's not how our offense is, you know? And so our run game is really important, you know, for me to make sure we're in the right run, the right play, taking checkdowns, being smart with the ball, being willing to punt to have a good defense. I feel like it just all ties together, you know? And yeah.
And the number of people that I've spoken to from your team, your teammates, McCaffrey, Kittle, for instance, Debo, I've asked them the same question, so I'll ask you as well. Your coach is famous for saying, this is the way, if we run the play, it's going to work, and it's exactly how it does, in fact, play out. Do you have a story like that about Kyle Shanahan telling you, do it this way, let's call it at this time, and then he does it, and it does actually hit in the same manner that he predicted? You got one of those for me, Brock?
I mean, I think like there's multiple times, you know, he's called the right play at the right time, like, you know, Sunday Night Football, the trick play. We've had that in for weeks and then we run it and we hit George down the sideline at the right time. It was the right coverage. Great play call. Last year against Seattle in the playoff game, we did this trick play, not necessarily a trick play, but we sold outside zone really hard to the left and Juwan had a great fake block and went down the sideline. It was a huge play in the game for us to, you know, then score after. We had been saving that play for a while, but he just, you know, allows to, you know, set up those plays for, you know, third, fourth quarter, you know, crucial parts of the game kind of plays. And so everything ties together, man. He's always thinking about how he can set something up, whether it's pass, run, or whatever. But the dude's a wizard. So,
few minutes left here with Brock Purdy, San Francisco 49er quarterback. So over your left shoulder, I couldn't help but notice there's Montana. You know, over your right shoulder, there's Dwight Clark reaching out for a pass from Montana. Have you spoken to Montana? You got any relationship with him at all, Brock?
Yeah, a little bit. I spoke to him actually at the Super Bowl event. It was the first time I saw him. The last time he was in, I think, Santa Clara. He was here for the Chiefs game last year. Mm-hmm. I wasn't playing at the time, so I didn't really, you know, have an opportunity to talk to him. But when I have talked to him, he's been nothing but great. He's supported, you know, this team and how I've played and stuff. And so just to be able to hear him, you know, sort of show some gratitude and stuff for me, it's like, dude, that is a legend. That's the guy. That's the guy. You know, when you look at the 49er logo, that's who you think of. So what an honor.
And what about Young? What about Steve Young? You got
yeah, he's
him?
Been around too. Spoke to him the Sunday night game, actually. He was on the field for a little bit. And how, you know, he was very, just really nice about everything. He's like, dude, how you've handled everything and your decision-making and your process. And he goes, I want to sit down and talk to you more about it. So just to know that, you know, he has our back too. That's awesome, man. It's like a dream too, but what an honor for both of those guys to, you know, love what we're doing.
And I'm just wondering, why doesn't this phase you more? I'm serious, man. I mean, like, how old are you again right now, Brock?
Legitimate. 23.
23. Yeah. I mean, seriously, what an opportunity you had placed in front of you and how it's all beginning to blossom for you. And obviously you've got a lot more football and I totally get it. But why do you think, you know, not to turn you me into a shrink here and just try and have you lie on the couch, but why does it not faze you? Like, what about your upbringing or anything that you think you can hang your hat on this?
Bro. I mean, if we're being real, man, my faith, you know, it allows me to realize like I'm a part of something that's not about me, you know, my whole life and stuff, trying to think, you know, like this is all about me. This is my story. I don't think like that. You know, I just want to help this team win. I want to help, you know, love on these guys here and, you know, tell them about Jesus and God and having a purpose in your life. That's where I'm at. That's how I think mentally. And, you know, all the other stuff that comes about, like, obviously you got legends and people that you grew up watching that you're able to now talk to and stuff. But man, I see it, you know, they're human too. You know, I'm human. We're not these gods or anything crazy. So, I don't know. I just try to keep it simple. You know, I'm living life, I'm playing football and I get to get paid doing this job and it's a blessing.
And so many people trying to crack the code on finding another you or finding somebody who can come into the league and perform, you know, in a manner in which you're performing. Do you think the 4 years you had at college and the amount of time you played does help in this front as well, Brock?
Yeah, I do. You know, I've told multiple people multiple times, like the situational football, the environments you go and play in, just the different defenses and schemes that you have to get ready for, like 4 years of that and catching a ball, seeing all that kind of stuff and being, you know, accurate with the ball and making plays, like all that stuff added up. I think it really did help, you know, when I got to this level in terms of, you know, now I get to see a defense. Oh, I remember seeing this a couple years ago against this scheme in college or whatever. I think that all those little things help. And at the end of the day, man, it comes down to making good decisions consistently. And so I feel like I have a lot of reps of that from college and it allowed me to be ready for what's to come here.
All right. In the few minutes I have left with you, how do you respond to those who say you're just a product of the system there, the coach and the guys around you, and all you're doing is basically rolling the balls out and not making mistakes? How do you respond to that, Brock?
Oh, man, I would just say, you know, I don't really care in a sense. You know, I just want to win. I want to help this team win. People can say what they want. That's cool. I just want to help this team win and reach our goals. And then we'll see at the end of all this if that's true or not. So,
and then the coolest thing that you've been able to experience outside of obviously the X's and O's and the winning. Beating Brady, for instance, or meeting somebody. You know, obviously we talked about you getting to meet someone like Shaq. Which is the one that's just landed on you as, okay, that's pretty damn cool. And then you go back to being the quarterback of the 49ers. You got anything like that for me, bro?
I would just say, you know, you may have heard the story, but like my first game was against the Dolphins. I wear number 13 because of Dan Marino. Mm-hmm. My dad's from Florida, so I was a Dolphins fan growing up. Mm-hmm. But that was my first game I got in. And then in the second quarter, I look up on the big screen and Dan Marino's there. So like, it's crazy, sort of like things like that. But yeah, man, what a ride so far. And I'm very thankful for all of it.
And you got a chance to meet Marino? Chat with him?
Talk with him? Yeah, I was doing a Thursday night sit down with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's right.
FaceTime Dan Marino in. So that was the first time I talked to him. It was pretty cool.
Okay. Yeah. And did you ever see Ace Ventura, Pet Detective? Do you ever see one? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a great one.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Just want to make sure on all that. All right, Brock. Well, this has been a pleasure chatting with you. Good luck to you on all that. And, you know, while you still have a roommate, is he the messy one? You're the messy one? What do you got? What is it like?
He gets annoyed at me, man, because I'm always telling him to clean up after himself. So,
you're the quarterback.
Nick, do the dishes.
You're the quarterback, though. You know what I mean? You're the quarterback.
That's right.
You can't have your house in order, Brock. It's like your huddle. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, take pride in it, man.
Well, listen, congrats on the ride so far, and good luck moving forward, sir.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
What a delight.
Very nice, young, respectful man. Locked in.
With his head screwed on straight. You know?
Very focused. Seems like he'd have the same expression if like there was a fire burst out.
Guess what? That's what you want, right? In your quarterback?
Absolutely.
There's not a deer, there's no headlights.
Very Burrow-esque.
You think so, huh?
In terms of demeanor.
Dude. In terms of play as well. He is. That guy. He is, and I know you still need to see it. I know you're in the camp of still needing to see it.
I just need to see more. I need to see him play some full seasons here.
I get it. Well, you know, he's in the midst of it.
And I think that's a fair assumption.
Big game this weekend. Big game Monday. How does he follow up? How does he process it? How does he take it in? How does he respond? All of that stuff.
Yeah.
But even if they lose that, who's next? San Francisco's home. Speaking of Burrow, he's got him next. Whew. Cincinnati at San Francisco.
There's a lot of matchups this year that could be like sneaky Super Bowl previews.
Then a bye. Then they're at Jacksonville, home for. Oh my goodness.
Uh-oh.
How am I going to deal with this?
Oh no, they playing Baker. Oh no.
Rich.
Oh no.
Home for Tampa. Oh.
It's like your personal Kelce Bowl.
It's called a family feud.
Week 11.
Oh.
Can we call you Donna that week?
How do I deal with that?
Oh, Rich.
I don't know.
How do we
deal with that?
I'm
not sure. I'm dumbfounded.
How do I deal with that?
Yeah, for uniform.
Before Thanksgiving.
We get you a split jersey.
A split jersey, right?
Yeah, we're going to get you a split jersey.
That is funny. A split jersey, huh? Like a Mama Kelce?
And we'll call you Donna all week.
100%. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you need a split jersey.
Hey, man, look at those games. Two games against Seattle. They're two games against Seattle with the Eagles right in the middle of it.
Eagle sandwich.
Versus Baltimore on Christmas Monday night. Good stuff, man.
Fun.
Kid's ready for it. I'm excited to see him progress.
Did you say my kid's ready for it?
I said the kid's ready for it. The kid's ready for it. How dare you?
Mike.
Stream the NFL and Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms, including this Monday night game we're talking about. Stream Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long for free and get in the zone with AutoZone. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help you find a fix for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. And just kind of switch it up on you. Trying to switch it up. No. It's called just switching up the cadence.
Okay.
Trying to get you jump off sides.
Okay.
Take a break. TJ, are you ready to impart your weekly fantasy football advice?
You know, I stay ready, so I ain't got to get ready.
That's next. And your phone calls to wrap up the show and let you know tomorrow's show, if your name's not O'Connell, you can't be a guest. Back here on our program. And that's all I have to say about that. Okay. So you got your fantasy advice. We got some phone calls. Who do you think wins tonight, Jacksonville or New Orleans?
Trevor Lawrence playing, yeah?
Yeah, you know what? By the way, did he play in the Superdome? Was there one of his games? College?
Good question.
I'll look it up. Give me an answer.
They might have played. I don't know. I think Jacksonville wins tonight. They're just better. Him being out there makes them better. I don't believe in the Saints offense really at all. So I expect Jacksonville to kind of win pretty easily tonight.
I got to push back on that one.
Oh, really?
Which part?
All of it. That it's very difficult to play on the road in this environment. Short week. New Orleans fans, give them a full day to get ready for a game. It's going to be particularly loud. And you know, Jamal Williams coming back. There's him, Kamara, real Mike, can't guard Mike. You got Olave, Carr coming off a 350-yard game. This defense, this is a tough one for the Jaguars. Tough one.
I mean, Jacksonville to New Orleans is, what's that, an hour flight?
As a matter of fact, the 2021 Sugar Bowl that, let me make sure, did that feature Trevor Lawrence? It did. No, the Tigers. Hold on a minute. I believe this was a Trevor Lawrence game. Yes. I think it was. They played at Ohio State. This is Justin Fields took care of business, buddy. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they got all those weapons, and they had 13 points last week.
It's probably the last time Trevor Lawrence has been in this stadium. So. He's back.
I don't think the Saints are particularly that good. I don't think the Superdome is as a home field advantage as it used to be.
Okay. Here we go. Very good. We'll see what happens this evening. Watch it on Roku. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. Jimmy in Arizona has been hanging on for a while. What's up, Jimmy?
Hi, Rich. I got two quick ideas for the NFL to make it better and safer. First off, we need to go to a two-bye system, take the week two and three Thursday games out, and then get a schedule where every team that plays Thursday has the bye before that. So it's 10 days to prepare, 10 days to rest. No more games, two games in 5 days. I'm surprised Amazon didn't ask for it right away. Second idea is the coin flip overtime. Why can't we just have one coin flip? The second coin flip is stupid. 60 minutes, and then you're going to go to luck. One coin flip. You win, you take the ball, or you defer. Second half, you have the same decision. You see what the game is, you keep the ball, or you save it for overtime. Now, everybody in this stadium knows at halftime who's getting the ball. We could even go back to sudden death or go back to what we had last year. So either way, it makes it all safer. No more two games in 5 days. I've been waiting 4 years to get online to talk to you.
Hey. Two things then, Jimmy. Number one, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say you're not from Arizona originally, Jimmy.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Attaboy.
I grew up on West 12th Street. My next door neighbor was Sam DeLuca.
There you go.
Sam DeLuca. That's my cousin.
Yo, is that right?
Yeah.
I think he owes me money, Sam DeLuca.
When he came home at 68 with his cast.
Okay. Jimmy, of the two things that you said, didn't we once upon a time talk about the coin flip to start the game?
I think
should
so.
Involve
yeah,
overtime,
I have
right?
Choice where you keep it, but I really think by halftime, even Allstate could come out and say the halftime decision, because it's a coach's choice. We don't have to worry about luck anymore. So if you're the team that's not going to get the ball, maybe you go for two. Or if you are a team, then maybe you play differently. But everybody in the stadium knows who's getting the ball, so you don't have to cry that they didn't touch it in overtime.
There you
That's
go.
Safety.
Jimmy in Arizona by way of Brooklyn here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Jimmy, did you ever call here once and say are we talking
gone.
Playoffs
he gone.
Or what?
He
I know he's gone. I'm just putting
he
it out there.
He wasn't the playoffs or what guy.
It wasn't him.
He was not. And the other thing, too, is I think the NFL at some point, one day, will be trying to extend the season all the way to President's Day weekend for the Super Bowl. Because, as you know, so many people are saying the Super Bowl is such a major event that the day after should be a national holiday. So you actually put it on a weekend where the day after is, in fact, a national holiday. And that the extend it one more week, and the way to do that is to give a second bye weekend, certainly if there's international travel, certainly if there is some sort of a Thursday night competitive advantage. I doubt it. I doubt it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll maybe sneak in one more phone call, but for the moment, it's now time for our weekly fantasy football update brought to you by Prize Picks. TJ Jefferson, take it away, sir.
Hey, DJ Mikey D, you already hit the music. You already know. Look, guys, we're going to try to get you ready for week 7 of fantasy football. I'm just going to give you a few picks to help you get that dub this week. I'm going to start with him. I've never said this before, but guys, believe it or not, Sam Howell, quarterback of the Washington
he's
football
him.
Teams.
What?
He's him this week
Whoa.
Against the Giants, and I'll tell you why. He scored nearly 22 fantasy points per game over in 4 of his last 5, including 3 in a row, and 3 of the past 5 QBs against these G-men have scored at least 20.9 fantasy points.
I've never really thought that I'd put Sam in this category, but I'm going to tell you right now, if you have him, play him. Sam Howell is him this week. Just putting it down. Also, Drake London, wide receiver of the Falcons against the Bucks. You know, in the past five games, he scored at least 14.7 points, and the Bucks have allowed eight receivers to score at least 13 points against them. So, hey, let's ride with Drake. I know we're not big on Desmond Ridder sometimes, but I think Drake London might have a good week this week. Matter of fact, I know he's going to have a good week, and that's why Drake London is also him. Now, who's not him? That's going to be our buddy Kirk Cousins, unfortunately, against the 49ers. I know last week I thought he'd have a good game, but I think this 49ers D is going to be a little pissed off after what happened to them and about all the talk that they've been hearing. No, Justin Jefferson really hurts. You lose that guy, your numbers are going to go down. Now, Kirk does have 14 touchdown passes. So if you have to start him, start him. But if you have another option, I'd say maybe go with him this week. Also, DJ Moore, wide receiver of the Bears. Look, Tyson Bagent, he's getting the start. If this was an arm wrestling contest, I'd say go with him, but it's not. Therefore, DJ Moore should be sitting on your bench because I just don't see him having a great week. DJ Moore, Kirk Cousins, they are not him. And also just another thing, Rich, a guy that you mentioned earlier who might be him, Jahmyr Gibbs, running back of the Lions. We've been waiting for him all year. Okay, the Lions used the first-round draft pick. David Montgomery's not there. I know Craig Reynolds is there, and he might take a little bit of the shine off of him. But at some point, Jahmyr Gibbs has to have the type of game that justifies him being such a high draft pick for these Lions. I know the Ravens' defense is tough, but, you know, you got to go with your head, your gut sometimes. I'm going with my gut. I'm saying roll with Jahmyr Gibbs. I know I am this week.
Well, if he can answer the bell, we'll see. And Craig Reynolds has been a little bit banged up, too. They're kind of at odds with their running back group right now for Detroit, and that was our fantasy football update sponsored by Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app. If you're ready to test your skills, join the Prize Picks community. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. I've been trying to stay away from giving Cooper fantasy advice. He's now 0-6. Ugh. He saw a stat on ESPN, the fantasy site, that 2%, of the teams on the ESPN fantasy side. Yeah, and he goes, I'm part of the 2%. And so he has Joe Burrow, and he had a choice of quarterbacks to pick up. Geno Smith, he took over Sam Howell. So I'm not going to tell him you think he's him.
Well, yeah, I could be wrong.
I mean, Geno had a great game with the exception of two picks against Cincinnati.
Yeah. So. Costly picks, obviously.
Let's go to Dave in Nashville here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Rich.
What's up?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, so I'm watching you talk to Brock Purdy. I'm thinking, you know who that guy looks like?
Who?
He looks like Rudy from the movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, geez.
And he didn't want to kick your ass.
I mean, Sean Astin is what he said.
Dave, clearly.
Rudy these days?
Dave, clearly you're. No, I'm steering clear of the real Rudy.
Found out he's nice with his hands.
Although, if he does live in Vegas still, I'll be there for a Super Bowl. He's got a whole week
Could
to come.
Can you outrun him, you think, these days?
Oh, I think I can, for sure.
We have to have him on the show, right?
Unless that on pay-per-view.
Dave, unless somebody puts him on their shoulders and chases after me.
Whoa.
Like actually happened.
Or if they put him on the edge and let him rush the quarterback. No.
You know. But since you clearly are a fan of this program, then, Dave, you know to say somebody who is being accused of being such the apple of my eye that he's like one of my sons, to say he looks like Rudy, those are fighting words. I'm not going to lie. It's like my words to Rudy. You know what I mean?
They're fighting words. Baby face quarterback, man.
All right. For that take, should we give Dave a slow clap? Like Charles S. Dutton? Nobody. Very good. Thank you, Dave. Like, by the way, nobody on planet Earth in the history of clapping claps like that. Charles S. Dutton clapping like he does in Rudy offends even one of the sweetest guys in the history of the world.
I wonder if that was a choice.
The former coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Jason Garrett. Even he would be upset with that clap.
Here you go.
Even he would be like, who claps like that?
The official clap.
Charles S. Dutton on the 55th take.
Get out of here.
Yeah, right? That's what I mean. I've been here all day, and
Let me just say something, to end this program, since I'm seeing everybody's talking about the Michigan thing about apparently violating a rule that you're not allowed to send anybody on the road. It's a money-saving rule from 1994 in college football. You're not allowed to send anybody on the road to scout teams. And, you know, specifically, it's an anti-sign-stealing thing. If Michigan did do something like this, whatever the punishment is, they should get it. It's that simple. And but I just find it also strange that our schedule sucks and we suck for having such a crappy schedule. And we're, you know, but we're also spying. So it's kind of weird. Like, what is it? Maybe we are spying and our scheduling does suck. I don't know. But I don't know what's going on. Have no idea what's going on. If they did it, whatever the penalty is, they should suffer it. How does that sound? Facts, straight up. That said, Michigan State saying that they're concerned about the health and safety of the players over sign stealing. They thought they threatened to not play the game, but said Thursday they're playing the game. Oh, good. Thank you for that. Greatly appreciate it. What? You're sending people on the road to steal our signs? Our players might be in danger. Okay.
Danger will rise.
So then what, Indiana's players weren't in danger? The hypocrisy sometimes in this world is insane. That'll wrap up this show.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams. If you ask me to call my shot, this is the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.